Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com in the sunny climes of Western Japan.
And this is James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com in the gloomy and rainy climes of Portland, Oregon. And we welcome you to another important episode of The New World Next Week. So much to get into, and we're going to get right into it. Coming from MediaMonarchy.com and originally from Washington'sBlog.com, the European economic crisis is not complicated. You might assume that the global economic crisis is complicated. Just when it looked like things were getting better, Greece, Portugal, and Spain are melting down. It's just too complicated for any layperson to understand, right? No, not really. There wouldn't be a crisis among nations if banks' toxic gambling debts hadn't been assumed by the world's central banks. As Washington's blog pointed out, the Bank of International Settlements, also known as the Central Bank's Central Bank, points out in a new report with a PDF for you that the bank rescue packages have transferred significant risks onto government balance sheets. So now, no wonder Greece, Portugal, Spain, and many other European economies, as well as the U.S. and Japan, are facing serious debt crises. So the Eurozone central banks, much like America's Federal Reserve, create fiat money out of thin air. And we know that private banks don't make loans because they just have extra deposits lying around. The process is the exact opposite. This system is no longer based on assets, and a lot of banks are being insolvent and closed. And governments and people don't have access to the printing presses and thus have to pay the monopolists to run them. So at the very least, the system needs to be changed so that it is not, by definition, perched atop a mountain of debt, and the monetary base must be maintained by an authority that is accountable to the people. James.
Absolutely. I can't stress how important this story is right now, and it's very interesting to be watching it. And of course, this is an unfolding calamity of unthinkable proportions. But yes, that's absolutely right. There's the sovereign debt crisis that's happening right now, and we see that most clearly in Greece right now with their bonds going just up and up and up in terms of percentages. And it's getting to the point where it looks like the Greek economy is going to completely collapse. They're going to have to restructure their debt. And when that happens, all bets are off the table. But the only thing is to keep in mind is that, once again, this is a manufactured crisis. This is an absolutely perfectly predictable result of the steps that have been taken in order to create the whole fiasco in the European monetary zone over the last 10 years. And that was in part engineered by Goldman Sachs. It's a very, very important story to understand, because we also have to understand the solutions that are going to be proposed for this crisis. And we're looking at the type of thing like revaluing currencies across the board and having some sort of conference to come up with a new standard for a global type currency where each individual country's currency is maintained, but moves are made in unison across countries. It's a very important situation to get a handle on. So I will be covering this in my next episode of the Corbett Report, episode 130, that will be released this Sunday. So I certainly hope people will stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for that. And also stay tuned to MediaMonarchy.com for more on this story and to look at this incredible post that James has up there on the Econo Crash.
That's what I wanted to quickly mention, is that this does tie into this sort of Goldman Sachs sideshow that we're seeing, and it is setting the stage for what's coming, and it's tied in with this Dodd financial reform bill that essentially all you need to know is it's going to be, oh, please don't throw me into the briar patch from the major banksters. But moving quickly now to our second massive story that, again, is centered in the United States but has ramifications worldwide, and it's, of course, right on schedule. Arizona immigration law energizes Hispanics and Dems, and I want to note that we referenced on MediaMonarchy.com that after the passage of Obamacare, that immigration reform was going to be the next thing on the agenda, and this all ties in with the Schumer and Lindsey Graham bill that was proposed about a national biometric ID card for workers. Now, having said all that, from Reuters, Arizona immigrant law energizes Hispanics and Dems. Hispanics and Democratic lawmakers furious over Arizona's harsh crackdown on illegal immigrants expect huge rallies across the United States coming this May Day weekend, piling pressure on Obama to overhaul immigration laws in this election year. Usually not a good idea. Protest organizers said on Wednesday, outrage over the Arizona law, which seeks to drive illegal immigrants out of the state bordering Mexico, has galvanized Latinos and would translate into a higher turnout for May Day rallies in more than 70 U.S. cities. The marches and demonstrations are going to be far more massive than they otherwise would have been, said Juan Jose Gutierrez, an L.A. rally organizer who runs an immigration assistance company. So the backlash began last Friday, April 23rd, after Arizona Governor Jan Brewer signed into law a measure that requires state and local police to determine a person's immigration status if there is a reasonable suspicion they are undocumented. Critics say it's unconstitutional and opens the door to racial profiling. GOP backers of the law say it's needed to curb crime in the desert state, which is a key corridor for drug and migrant smugglers from Mexico. There's any number of points to start to break this story down. James, which one would you like to go for?
Well, once again, I just want to stress how this is going to, how this is a manufactured and generated crisis that is going to be used to put forward two opposing, supposedly opposing solutions that once again are going to capture the people in the middle and going to squeeze them. And it's not going to be pretty either way you go for, because either you go for the amnesty bill and the biometric ID cards and that absolutely horrific system, or now there's a report on Raw Story about a Republican congressional candidate in Arizona who's proposing that as a solution to this, well, all illegal immigrants should be microchipped. So it just gets worse and worse in terms of the draconian laws and rules and measures that are passed to or being contemplated to take care of this problem. So once again, it's the solutions that we have to be wary of, and we have to be very careful about what solutions we want to propose for these types of crises and problems.
So finally, for our third story, we're going to hop over to one of my sister sites, cyberspacewar.com, for a story that I think we've been able here on the New World Next Week to kind of end our broadcast with something positive and something that relates to, in a way, what we're doing here with online journalism and this 21st century frontier. From Threat Level, fair use contributes trillions to U.S. economy. One study after another purports to chronicle how much intellectual property piracy hurts the economy and contributes to every societal ill, from terrorism to child porn to slavery. But a new study unveiled Tuesday sets out to examine intellectual property in a different light, how fair use, which doesn't require permission from the copyright holder, actually benefits the economy. The trade group Computer and Communications Industry Association, in a follow-up to its 2007 report, asks, what contribution is made to our economy by industries that depend on the limitations to copyright protection when engaged in commerce? For the year 2007, the fair use economy accounted for $4.7 trillion in revenue and $2.2 trillion in value added, roughly one-sixth the total gross domestic product of the United States, according to this study. The fair use economy also employed more than 17 million people with a $1.2 trillion payroll. Fair use dependent industries include educational institutions, search engines, web hosting providers, software developers, and device manufacturers, among many others, of which we would include ourselves. James?
Absolutely. Well, the Corbett Report wouldn't exist in anything near the form it does if it wasn't for the ability to use news-related content and to make commentary on that as part of fair use. And I'm assuming Media Monarchy is in the same boat. So absolutely, fair use is so important to not only have, but to defend against the various attacks on it from things like the AP, who won't let you use more than four words in a row from any one of their articles. Otherwise, that's violating their copyright, and just ridiculous things like that. So absolutely, we have to support fair use.
So James, that's just going to do it for this episode of New World Next Week. Your episode coming soon again. Tell folks what we're going to cover there.
We're going to cover Wither Europe, the European monetary crisis.
And episodes coming up this weekend on Media Monarchy, as well as new interviews. And again, folks, we implore you to subscribe and share these episodes. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you.